All right, Kingdom Perspectives, the book of Acts. I think we're at number 31 or something like that. It's just been moving along. Don't forget, ISM is next Friday, next Friday. Yeah, praise God. I'm excited about it. It's going to get gooder and gooder and better and better. Amen. Watch this, the book of Acts. Last time we got together, the first church moved in great power and great faith because what? Their motives were pure. Their motives were pure. Their hearts were pure. Man, they just wanted to serve God. They didn't care about the air conditioning. They didn't care about any of those things. They didn't care about the carpet. They didn't care about this and that. They had issues that they worked out, as we saw in the beginning of the book of Acts, the beginning of the church. But they were working those things through. But the first church moved in great power and great faith because the motives were pure. And remember, purity equals power. Purity equals power. The closer you get to God, the more power you have. And the only way to get closer to God is become more pure. How do you become more pure? That's through discipleship, sanctification, getting further away from the world. Amen. Being less of yourself and more of Him. I decrease, He increases. So there is a dynamic to receiving more of the anointing, and that is it. Purity equals power. The modern church is moved and motivated by the desire of gain. They're motivated by the desire of gain. We know that's true because we live in a hungry, money-hungry type of churches and ministries. You send them an offering or something, and then around 30,000 pounds of letters later, y'all catch that later, after... you know, an enormous amount of letters and trees they killed to try to get you to give some more money. Sometimes they just give up on you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just give, and then they it's just like a whirlwind. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But that's the way a lot of churches are. Of course, this is not every one of them, but many are. Remember, the concept of loss is foreign to them. They don't teach it. They don't teach loss. They don't teach carrying the cross. They don't teach the aspects of, it's not about how much you get at the end. It's not what you gain. What are you going to do with it? You watch all these famous people when they die, they're in a gold casket, and that's it. They're wearing their favorite outfit, and that's it. They can't take nothing with them. You know, Graceland's still in Graceland, isn't it? It's still over there, right? Small K, he don't know nothing, right? So that's important to see. The modern church is moved, motivated by the desires of gain. All right, the spirit of Simon is alive and well in today's church. That's why I wrote those things, because it's true. Simony, remember that, about paying your way to try to get somewhere. It's no different than works. I'm going to try to work my way into something. No, you follow God. You do what you're supposed to do. And if there's a promotion, God will see that you're the first in the line. He'll just make a way for you. Is that right? The Bible says that the gift of a man will make room for him. What that means is if the room's crowded and looks like there's no way you're going to get in, God will move everybody out of the way till you get there. All right, Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Remember, he saw. I gave you that Greek word, 2300. It means to look attentively, as into a public view or public entertainment, something like a public show. He was very attentive. Again, we know that Simon really wasn't saved. He was just a part of the church, just like a lot of people are today. They just get in with the church. They get in so they can find a wife. They get in the church so they can do this or do that or get a business deal. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been in churches like that. I've had people over 25 years of ministry join up with us and say they're there with us. Next thing you know, they're handing out Avon cards and Amway. Somebody wave, like, you know what I'm talking about. And next thing you know, they're mad at you because you didn't have a Tupperware party at the church for them. It's like, what did you come here for? Well, you came here for a Tupperware party. So this is that spirit. It's alive and well in the church today. Verse 19 says you can't buy the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he ain't for sale. Everybody's in that attitude, you know, give me, give me, give me. Verse 20, here comes the truth. And he basically said, Peter said, it'll be with you for destruction. Your money's going with you into destruction. You know, so many people, their goals and their motives that are evil and fleshly motivated will end up being the noose around their neck. Jesus said, pick out your own millstone, talking to those who offend children. But whenever you are in an offensive position and you're trying to gain, you're trying to do the wrong thing, what you're trying to use as promotion will one day wrap around your neck. Somebody say amen. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be me. We just have to go in a relationship with no strings attached, whatever you want to do. So this is what they were dealing with in the early church. Verse 23 talked about wormwood. Remember, that was the poison in the chain that was wrapped around this guy. He was in serious issues, serious problems because of his wanting to be like the apostles and trying to buy the Holy Spirit and use the power of God, be promoted, and those things. And I gave the analogy of the Romans when they would chain the right hand of the prisoner to the left hand of the officer. That was the exact analogy, if you look at it in the Greek, of what they were trying to portray with that verse. They were headed off into their execution. So it was pretty strong words that were given to Simon. And then remember, the false will always be exposed in the presence of true apostolic authority and the presence of God. We need to remember that, because what's coming down the road, it's already happening now, but what's going to happen in the coming days is you're going to see a lot of church discipline and a lot of judgment in the house of God for those that have gained entrance and access for the wrong reasons. Amen? That's part of judgment that comes to the house of God. All right, the book of Acts. Are y'all ready? All right, here's some truths to stand upon. The life and ministry of a believer is supernatural. The life and ministry of a believer is supernatural. Notice I didn't say Preacher Joe, Preacher Jim, Preacher Ben, Sally, whoever. I didn't say that. I said the life and ministry of a believer is supernatural, because you are to walk in the supernatural. God's super plus your natural equals supernatural. The life and ministry of a believer is supernatural. God's super plus our natural equals supernatural. We've gotten away from that in the body of Christ because we put all the supernatural ability on a guy, on a person, the one standing before the folks, one that's on television, the one that's on the CD, DVD, whatever. And we say that, you know, it's only to those that can preach and minister is the power of God available, which is absolutely crazy, and it's not true. So you and I, the life and ministry of a believer is supernatural, okay? Very elementary, but you'd be surprised how many people in the body of Christ do not exercise any spiritual gifts. They don't do anything. If they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, they barely pray in tongues. They probably wait just to church. I pray in tongues every day, constantly pray in the Holy Ghost, because I need to pray the mysteries of God, because I don't know what I'm doing. I need to stay in contact with God, constantly talking to headquarters, because I don't know what to do in this life without him. All right, watch this. Modern theologians believe the first church had more power because they were closer to the epicenter, or Jesus. Modern theologians believe the first church had more power because they were closer to the epicenter, or Jesus. The truth is, the first church had an assignment. Modern theologians, this is an excuse. They say this. They say, well, you know, they have more power in the first church because they were closer to Jesus. They were closer to the epicenter. They were closer to the walk in the life of Christ. When the truth is, the first church had an assignment. I'll get into all that in just a minute. They had an assignment. Listen, when you have an assignment, you have an anointing. God doesn't anoint you to sit in the chair and take notes. You feel the anointing of his presence, his goodness, his joy, his love, and his peace, and all the shalom that comes with being in a place that's safe, and all those different things. But we're not anointed to take notes. We're anointed to work. Anointing equals work. I know it's a cuss word, W-O-R-K. Okay? But that work doesn't mean a platform where you stand and do what I'm doing here. That work can be anything. It could be mowing the yard. It can be serving in the food ministry, whatever, prison ministry, jail ministry. It doesn't matter. but we're anointed to work. So watch this. Modern theologians believe the first church had more power because they were closer to the epicenter. You know, so we can't do what they did. We can't act like the apostles because, boy, that was so long ago. The truth is the church, the first church, had an assignment. Watch this. This is the next statement. They had a mission. They had a mission that required ammunition. You can put / power. You can put / anointing. You can put / purpose. They had a mission that required ammunition. That's why they're anointed. That's why they had unction. That's why you see the book of Acts come alive and why it's part of today's living as well. Because we have an assignment. We have a vision. We have a ministry. All of us here. That's why I began. The life and ministry of a believer is supernatural. If we go out and do the work of a minister, we do the work of evangelism. We do the work of reconciliation. Okay, so they had a mission that required ammunition. It required the anointing. We have that very same mission, mandate, vision from God, assignment from God. It hasn't changed. We've changed, but the Word of God hasn't changed. The assignment hasn't changed. You're still supposed to go out into all the world, aren't you? It doesn't matter what color, ethnicity, all the social status, address, zip code, country, it doesn't matter. We're still to go do it, okay? But the first church knew that. The modern church today has a huge problem fulfilling the Great Commission. Oh, watch this. If you're working for heaven, heaven will work for you and with you. Listen to it again. If you're working for heaven, in other words, you got an assignment, heaven will work for you and with you. Amen. We're in relationship with God. We're in relationship with the Lord Jesus. We're in relation with the kingdom. We're working together to fulfill the Great Commission. So he is our supply. If we say, Lord, you've called us to go to the nations, well, we got to have the funds to do it. He says, no problem. I'll send it to you by faith. I'll make it happen. You'll go around the world. Your ministry will go around the world. The media platform will go around the world. You'll get on an airplane and you'll go. Why? Because there's an assignment. If there's an assignment, there'll always be provision. All right, so that all works out to what we're going to teach on tonight. But I love that. If you're working for heaven, man, heaven's going to work for you and with you. Amen? That's good to know. You got to stay connected, though. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 26. Let's begin there. Bless you over there. Acts chapter 8. Now, Peter and John did their business. They came down, big guns, apostolic authority, anointing, they set things in place. They dealt with that spirit of Simon. And they went on back to Jerusalem. They went and preached in the villages and went on back. Now look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying. Now, first of all, when it says the angel of the Lord, the translation is going to, you'll see it later on. He's really talking about the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord. Angel as a messenger. But it kind of changes here in a few minutes. So don't think it is as the Lord Jesus himself. But the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. All right? So here's Philip. He's in the middle of his revival. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Then the Spirit of the Lord, or the angel, the messenger, begins to speak to him. And begins to call him to leave where he is, to go to this place called desert. Okay? So think about this with me for a minute. Here he is in ministry. He's got a revival going on. He's doing pretty good, you know, signing books and kissing babies and doing different stuff. He's in the ministry, man. It's happening. He's on TBNs rolled up, taking videos, you know. He's doing real good. Then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to him. Now, why did the Spirit of the Lord speak to him right in the middle of what he was doing? Well, because the assignment called for that type of calling from God. In other words, sometimes when you and I are called to do something great for God, the calling can be really great. It can be really big. It can be really important, because God doesn't want us to miss the moment that we're about to do and go through in the destiny. So look at this. The assignment called for supernatural intervention. Write that down. The assignment that Philip had to do, it called for supernatural intervention. Listen, God doesn't need to tell you every morning to get up and pray and do what you're supposed to do. No different. My children, they have assignments. They know exactly what they're supposed to do. We have clockwork. It should be done at a certain time. That's just the way my house is ran. If you're going to stay in my house and eat my food, how many of y'all hear your dad talking now? You remember that old thing? If you're going to live here, son, you're going to do what I tell you to do. No, we set it up to where they have assignments and the duties, and they get rewards for those duties, like living at the house and eating. Those are awesome rewards. Don't you think? But I don't have to tell them constantly. They're going to make mistakes like we all do. But I don't have to constantly tell them. I don't have to wake up and say, "Oh, Father, Father, it's 7 a.m. What shall I do?" You better get yourself in there, get your breakfast, and get ready for school. I'll meet you in the kitchen in 30 minutes because we homeschool. Get it? You'll catch that later. They don't have to do that. And so many people think that, you know, they have to hear some great thing from God to do just the normal assignments. And the Father's not always going to do that. But if he's going to do something great in your life, and if he wants you to do something that he doesn't want you to miss, he will talk to you very personally and very powerfully. Okay, so the assignment called for supernatural intervention and engagement. I want you to write that down, engagement. Because again, verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south of the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." He wanted him to take a 100-mile trip. Now, please put this back in your understanding. Peter and John from headquarters from Jerusalem were there, and they were doing their thing, and he was doing his thing, and devils were getting cast out, and people were getting saved, and Simon was being exposed, and great things were taking place. Then God says, "I want you to go 100 miles to the south, to the desert." How many of y'all know for just a few seconds, I think he was rebuking the Lord? How many of y'all ever had God tell you to do something, and you rebuked the Father, and it was him? You thought it was the devil. You know, like when you're supposed to give and you don't. The devil will never tell you to give. If he does, it'll be less than what God tells you to do. But he had an assignment. So specifically, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, said, "I want you to go south towards the desert." Now watch this. He was headed towards the city of the Philistines. Technically, that region. In fact, that one city of Gaza was destroyed. But there were 5 other cities in that area. So follow me with this. Don't you think knowing that you're going to the region of the Philistines kind of has a little in your heart about that? Come on now. It would be like, you know, taking a southern boy and telling him, "I want you to go to the back alley somewhere in New York City where Brother Gambino used to live. Or whatever. I mean, you know, pick any city. And you want me to go over there? I know about that place." Remember, he's coming from Jerusalem. He's in Samaria. It's not the best place to be. But he saw a great harvest. And now the Lord is telling him, "I want you to go south to the southernmost part towards the city of the Philistines." Ancient territory of the Philistines. Don't you think that's pretty wild? And the Lord says, "I want you to go. I want you to lead this revival because I got something for you, something you need to do." Hebrews 11:8, you can write that down as a scripture to look at later on. But, you know, looking for that city, looking for that place that God has called you to. That's always a journey of faith, don't you think? And so he's going, verse 27. "And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia." Now remember, 100-mile trip. He did not know where he was going because he told him to take the south way towards the desert. There were 5 different cities in that region. This is how specific this was. When he told them to take it towards the desert, there were five different cities, five different regions he could have went to. But because of the way the Holy Spirit said for him to go, he went to the exact place. What is that lesson for you and I? Obey the Father. Do what he tells you to do. That was really, to me, one of the first GPS systems of the New Testament. God's positioning system, man. God put him right there. I just find that amazing, because he could have got lost had he did it his own way. If the Lord wasn't specific. Now, he'll tell you the beginning, and he may show you the end, but he ain't going to tell you the in-between, is he? And so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. So God leads Philip to this place, to this man of great authority. Now, he was a treasurer. Let's talk about him just a little bit. He was a treasurer. He had great authority. He was a eunuch, possibly by birth, possibly by position. Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, I believe it's verse 12, he explains what a eunuch is. You can write that down and see it. Some were from birth. Some were done by their master. Some did it by choice. We're not really sure what type of eunuch he was, but he was basically a man that was over the treasury. So this wasn't no small fry. This was a major person. This was a person who had great authority. Do you see it with me? And so he arose and he went. This is a 100-mile trip. And behold, the man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, Candace was not her name. Candace was a title like Pharaoh and different names. It's like Caesar. It was just common to call the queen Candace of the Ethiopians. So here he is, the treasurer of this woman, of a queen, and she was from the area of Upper Egypt. These are just things you should write down. From Upper Egypt, okay? Very, very powerful. He's ministering now, or he's coming to the place of ministry. And it says here, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So here he is. He had gone to Jerusalem. Some scholars say that he came during the Feast of Tabernacles. But also, I believe he was influenced by Pentecost. He was influenced at least by the stories that had taken place. So he had left his position as a treasurer momentarily to go and worship in Jerusalem. He's over there. He hears about the story of what took place in Pentecost. He heard what took place with the power of the Holy Spirit. And now he's on his way back home. Watch verse 28. And was returning and sitting in the chariot, had read Isaiah the prophet. Now, watch this. Philip's preaching. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He has an assignment. The glory of God is falling. He's in revival. God says, I want you to leave that because I have something for you to do. One thing we need to learn about ministry is never become possessive. One thing about ministry in church, never become possessive. Everything we do is temporal, and we must be flexible. An old man of God taught me this years ago. He was an old Brush Harbor preacher, and he said that you need to be flexible in ministry because you're going to be flexed. You need to be flexible in ministry because you're going to be flexed. In life, you're going to be flexed. You're going to be bent. God's going to move you around. God's going to say, I need you to do this. And the strength of being successful is to say, okay, Father, whatever you want to do. Okay, I just want to obey you. I just want to serve you. So Philip really had to recognize that, didn't he? To leave a revival, something that was successful. But here he is. He goes 100 miles. Here is this person of great authority. Now watch this. Who happens to be stopped at the right place at the right time. Philip shows up. And when Philip gets there, the guy is reading what? The book of Isaiah. You can't make this up. This is why we must recognize and realize that our life is supernatural. And the things that we have to do in this last days, man, we got to do it by supernatural power. supernatural authority, listening to what God says to us specifically, not worrying about what he's saying to everybody, not following every prophet on Facebook and every prophet around the world on any type of media platform. Follow the prophet, Jesus. Follow the word of God. And if he adds voices to that as confirmation, great. But we must follow the voice of the Lord, especially in these last days. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people getting messed up by listening to so many people instead of listening to the Spirit of God. There are people who have shipwrecked their marriages, their ministries, because they listen to false prophets and somebody wanting to prophesy. Listen, if you're going to prophesy over me, what you're going to say, God already told me. Now, that sounds arrogant, and some people don't understand that. But the truth of the matter is, if you're walking with God, you will already have a sense of what the Lord is speaking to you, and someone will come along and confirm it. If God is telling me to go this way, and all of a sudden here comes Jack out of a box, and he's going to tell me to go left, I'm going to look at him and say, you didn't hear from God. I had a preacher friend of mine one time. He used to always say this. He's a very strong man of God. Brother Les, you remember him. They'd come up to him and say, I got a word from the Lord for you. He'd say, okay, before you say it, I've already talked to the Lord this morning. So what you're going to say is going to confirm what he told me, right? You know, that's about when their teeth fall out and they got to leave. Do that sometime. Next time someone comes up and says, I got a word from you. Cool. I've already heard from the Lord this morning, so we're going to have confirmation, aren't we? If they heard from God, they'll say, sure, and they'll give you the word. Amen? I'm just saying that to be careful. Because Philip, he didn't listen to anybody else. There was other people at the revival. He had people around him. He had counsel. But he followed the Spirit of God. Now watch this. Verse 29. The Spirit, that's why I told you in verse 26, where it says the angel of the Lord, why is there a change? It's not really a change. It's just some of our translations are just a little different. But verse 29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Please remember, put your mind in this. He's from Jerusalem. He's a deacon. He's really just he's a servant. And he gets thrust into this. He watched Stephen die. He's in a revival, he's seeing great miracles, and then he gets called out of that, goes 100 miles into the desert, and then boom, he's standing there next to this chariot. Well, Philip obviously knows what that chariot is. Let me give you an example. It would be like a State Department type of vehicle. Think with me for a second. It's not some little donkey cart. This is the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. So he's already looking at this going, oh my God, I don't have a chariot, right? He probably came on a U-Haul donkey or something. I don't know, a rental donkey. I don't know how he got there, but he got there. You caught that, didn't you? Rental donkey, a rental wreck. He got there. I don't know how he got there, but he got there. So he's standing there, and notice how verse 29, please, you got to read the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord had to tell him to go up there. He had to get him out of the revival. That's why it took such a supernatural assignment or call for the assignment. And then when he gets there, he's got to be going, that's a limo. I mean, that's got authority right there. Then the Spirit of the Lord says, I want you to go up there and talk to this guy. So verse 30, watch the obedience. And Philip came thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, first of all, just a little history and understanding. He was reading the book of Isaiah through the Septuagint. He was reading the Greek scrolls. He was a Gentile, the Ethiopian was. In order to read the Septuagint at that time, you had to read it aloud, letter by letter. And not only was he reading it out loud, letter by letter, to understand what was being said, or at least to articulate it, he was probably also reading to his driver. So again, let's go back and let's picture Philip. He's standing there by this great man of authority, and the guy's reading the word of God out loud. Philip's ears must be burning because it's the book of Isaiah. And Philip is going, oh, this is the reason you sent me here. I got it now. There was a purpose. There was an assignment. There was a reason that you sent me all the way 100 miles at the perfect time of day, at the perfect moment. See, again, Philip could have got lost. He could have got off assignment. He could have got off his direction. The unit could have broke down 10 miles before. He could have left 10 minutes earlier or whatever. But it was exactly the divine will of God for Philip and this eunuch to get together. Listen, your life is more supernatural than you think it is. My life is more supernatural than I think it is. We need to start acting that way and start letting God's super touch our natural and make our lives supernatural. Because everybody in this room and those listening to me, you are supernaturally called by God. You are supernaturally have equipment by God. You're equipped by Him. You have all that you need to succeed and do what God has called you to do in the last days. He didn't leave you as an orphan, and He didn't leave you busted. He didn't leave you on the side of the road. If you got an assignment and a vision and a mission from God, guess what? You have everything that you need to succeed. This church has everything that it needs. We'll have everything we need. Come on, somebody. Those of you that have been with this ministry since we were in the shoebox, God supplied all of our needs exceedingly abundantly above all we'd ever ask or think. And into the future, He'll do the same. As long as we stay focused on Him, as long as we keep casting vision that's from heaven and not from man, not from some headquarters, not from some dried up, doubly dead, plucked up by the roots board or any crazy stuff. If we just fall, I better put this down before I break this glass. Are you with me? If we keep doing that, then God will supply everything. And listen, if you do it corporately for a ministry and for a vision, He'll do it for you as well individually. We got to stop looking at these guys and these people and these ministries and think, oh, wow, only they have connections with God. Only they can get this and get that. Forget that. You have to view your relationship. Look at Philip. Philip was a servant. He really wasn't even ordained. He didn't have no card in his pouch. They just laid hands on him and said, take care of those ladies. Is that not right? That would be no different than saying, I need you to go over there and stack up them chairs. All right, cool. And then all of a sudden, God called him out of stacking up chairs and sent him into one of the great revivals of the Samaritans, got a chance to fulfill what Jesus began to teach him to do. And now he's with the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. Do you see this with me? Don't just read the Bible so compartmentalized, so small and so narrow. Look at the big picture and say, if God can do that for Philip, He can do it for you. Why not you? Why not God put one of us in front of the governor one day? Or somebody else? Or a CEO of a large corporation, or something of that nature, or even as small as a child that needs Jesus. Amen? All right. I'm loving this thing. So Philip, he notice he walked because he was petrified. Did you see it? What does it say? Philip did what? Philip ran. I would run too. I would run. You know why Philip ran? He got it. I mean, he was blown away. Because don't you think for a second, please go back into the natural and you're thinking, 100 miles, he's going, really? They were feeding me bonbons and bringing me Fiji water and all kinds of stuff back here. And I mean, I had it made, man. I was doing great in this revival. No, see, you think everything's super spiritual. He was a guy. He was a person. He was a human. I'm sure in those 100 miles, his zapatos, his shoes got a little dirty, and that ride was a long ride. And what was there? There was no sign. There was no angels. There was no Star of Bethlehem. He's riding the donkey or whatever he was doing. And then he ran. He ran because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him again. And then he saw the big picture. He heard the guy speaking and reading Isaiah. And it all came together. And Philip ran. I love it. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You see, your gift does make room for you. Made room for him on the chariot of a treasurer. Again, this wasn't a guy that was counting. He wasn't a cashier at Walmart. He was a treasurer of a queen. He had great authority. And I'm sure he wasn't alone. I'm sure he had more people around him for his safe passage. He had gone to worship, this eunuch, he had gone to worship in Jerusalem. He comes back through on his way home, and God has a divine assignment with him, with a man of God named Philip. And he says to him, he says, how do I understand this unless I have a man, somebody to guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32. And the place of the scripture which he read was, and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. What did he give him? He gave him Isaiah chapter 53. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. Write that down. Do you see how prophetic this was? Do you see what a connection it was? That here this Gentile worshiper had went to Jerusalem to worship. He came about the Feast of the Tabernacles, like I said before. Surely he heard something about Pentecost. Surely he heard something about the resurrection of the Lord and Savior. But he didn't understand. He wasn't in full understanding of what it meant. But to be reading the very scriptures that dealt with Jesus being taken to the cross and being crucified, and the whole salvation story wrapped up in the book of Isaiah. By the way, the book of Isaiah is by some scholars, they call it the Gospel of Isaiah because there's so many references to the Messiah. That's just a little side note if you want to write that down. The Gospel of Isaiah. But here he was reading this. And I look at this and I think about where we are today. And I recognize and I realize that if we're willing to go on the assignment that God has called us to, then we'll have everything that we need to get there. And when we get there, we'll be right on time. When we get there, our destiny will be revealed right before us. Philip was on his road, not to the desert, you want to write this down, but to his destiny. Philip was not on his road to a desert place. But isn't that like God for a second? Watch this. Isn't that like God? We get called into the ministry or we get called to do something for God. And next thing you know, we end up in the desert. Come on, Joseph. The dream was the palace, but he ended up where? In the pit. Then he ended up in Potiphar's house. Then he ended up in prison. Is that right? But his promise was the palace. You ever been there before? Promised the palace and you end up in the pit? I want you to go to the desert. I don't understand why you want me to go to the desert. I want you to go to the desert. Philip, I got a plan for you, but you need to go. You need to respond to me. Well, okay. I don't think I like this travel. I don't think I like this route you're taking me. But here he was. So he runs up to this guy. He runs up to this treasurer, this great man of authority. And he hears him speak on the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, 7 through 8. Just an amazing connection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So watch this. The place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. In other words, they tried to destroy him. They tried to destroy Jesus. They tried to finish him off. They tried to take his memory and everything about him away, didn't they? They thought by putting him on the cross, crucifying him, burying him, putting a seal upon him, using the Roman centurions, making a lie about it all, Jesus would just go away. But it says, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So he says, I don't understand this. Who is this talking about? What is this whole situation? I'm reading the book of Isaiah. I'm looking at these promises. I'm looking at this this description, who is this? And Philip begins to teach him. Let's go to verse 34. And the eunuch asked Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? What an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This guy had no idea. He had no idea who Isaiah was speaking of. You got to remember, there was no other Bible. There's no commentary. There's no resources. There was no Ignited Life Now. You couldn't turn on the internet. Couldn't turn on YouTube. There was no TBN. He just knew that through the Greek writings, that this was a story of the Lord, of a person, but he didn't make the connection because he didn't fully understand that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But God put Philip there. You know what? This is for you and I. Because God is going to put us in places where people just don't understand the Word of God. There are so many people out there. There's so many people sitting in churches today who really don't know the Word of God. They really don't know what the story is about. They really don't understand what the whole sacrifice of Jesus was for. Many think it was so, just the only reason is so you wouldn't go to hell. They don't understand it was more than that. It's so you could go to heaven with Jesus. It's so that you can have an awesome relationship with him. It's so that you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. You can cast out devils. You can prophesy. You can have an awesome relationship with God. I believe that God is going to use us like Philip did in the last days and bring us before great men and before great people. Watch verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. You got to open your mouth. You got to say something. You got to say something. And he opened his mouth and began in the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. He didn't preach his denomination. He didn't preach about this or that, his conference or camp meeting or this bishop or, you know, this. He preached Jesus. That's what we need to do today. This is why your life and my life and ministry is supernatural as believers. That God is going to do the same thing. And when he puts us in front of people, we got to open our mouth. And we don't want to talk about, please don't talk about this church. Don't talk about me. Talk about Jesus. Talk about all that he's done and all that he will ever do. Break open the Word of God and begin to teach and show them all that Jesus did, all that he began to do, and all that he wants to do for each and every one that will receive him as Lord and Savior. All right, so next time we get together, I'm going to go a little further, and we'll finish out this chapter. But Philip, man, he was anointed. He had an assignment. He was called by God. If you wonder why sometimes the anointing is not strong in your life, check your assignment. Check your assignment and say, God, I'm here. I'm ready. Give me something else to do. I appreciate what I'm doing right now, but I like a fresh anointing. I like a fresh assignment. Shake me up. Let me go to the nursing homes. Let me do something so there's a greater anointing on me for the assignment that's before me. Amen. Heavenly Father, delivered your word tonight. I'm looking forward to us moving out in the power like Philip did. We've got an assignment. We've got a destiny. We're going to reach some folks that are waiting for us. I believe you will hold them hostage till we get there. I really do. I believe Ethiopian had he had many chances. He could have went on. But he was held and captivated by the Holy Ghost for that moment for the man of God to show up. Father, we're willing and we're ready. Just give us our assignment, and we thank you that the anointing will be there. Father, bless your people. Give us a safe, safe couple days. I can't wait for Sunday. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, guys, I love you. Appreciate you. By the way, I want to say this before you cut me off there. We do have some of the words that were transcribed from a couple Wednesdays ago that are put back on the wall. So please check them out. Also, I'll have a few set up on the internet. Bye. See ya.